today I'm introducing our first series of 2016. It's called Flecks of Gold. And in this series, we are going to look at our values. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Now, I have to say to you that when I sat down with the leaders, a leadership group, and said we were going to do this, we tried to hammer out what our values were. Because I didn't want this just to be my values, I wanted this to be our values. And I can say to you that one value immediately popped up, which I was so relieved about, because it's the one value that above anything else, I believe as a church, we have demonstrated and clung to. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'll let you think about what it is for a moment. But basically, we want us to put a statement on our website, maybe print it out as well, just to give people a taste of what we value as a church. In fact, most charities now and a lot of businesses have a value statement. Sometimes you'll get a job and you'll go for your induction and they'll tell you what their values are. And sometimes it's not entirely accurate, but it's aspirational. It's what they're aspiring to value. Well, as a church, we want to say the values that we actually believe we do have. There's always an aspirational element because we always want to go further into these things. But over the next few sessions, we're going to discuss these six core values. And we're going to discuss why we hold them so precious, talk about their biblical basis, and also what application from them we should see in our lives, and particularly in this church, if they're implemented. So, anybody want to guess what our prime core value is? It's relationship. Relationship. And today we're going to talk about relationship. And my first point today is that God is relational. It's really important that people understand why we value relationship. It's because God himself is relational. If you look at the book of Genesis, you know, people look at the first few chapters of Genesis and they say, oh, it's all about showing us that God is creator. And it is. And it's all about showing us that, God made things the way they are, although that's not entirely true, because what Genesis tells us is how God made things. It then tells us that things went weird when we stuck our oar in. In fact, Genesis really tells us how God designed things to be and how things worked when things worked according to God's plan. It gives us a reference point so we can see the difference. And it allows us also to see early on that God always had a strategy for bringing his kingdom to this planet. So if you go into the New Testament, Jesus tells us, when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's Matthew 6, verse 10. What does this verse tell us other than God's kingdom hasn't come? It tells us that God's will isn't done automatically. And some people get very, very worked up about that when you say that to them. But it's evident. I look on the news, I look down the street, and I can clearly see I am not living in the kingdom of God. I can tell that God's will is not being done around me. And yet, Jesus told us we were always to pray for that. Pray that the kingdom of God comes. Pray that the will of God happens. Genesis gives us a picture of the creation of man that sees man as empowered and given authority. Genesis 1 verse 26, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and let them be masters over the fish and the ocean and the birds, the fish in the ocean and the birds that fly, the livestock, everything that crawls on the earth and over the earth itself. So God created mankind in his own image. In his own image, God created them. He created them male and female. God blessed the humans by saying to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish in the ocean, the birds that fly, and everything that crawls on the earth. God also told them, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant that grows throughout the earth, along with every tree that grows seed-bearing fruit. They will produce your food. I have given all green plants as food for every wild animal of the earth, every bird that flies, and to every living thing that crawls on the earth. And that is what happened. Now God saw all that he had made, and indeed it was very good. God said it was good. Now, when you read that account, we see a picture of mankind having total mastery over the earth, and God saw it and said it was good. So God reckons that we should live in his image, which means that we should rule. And God made man in his own image and said, let them rule. God made us to rule. God made us to wield authority. God made us to be like him. God is the God who wields authority. God is the God who rules. When you go into a toilet and see Jesus rules okay, that's something that isn't just graffiti, it carries great truth. You know, the fact is, God rules. But, do we see that manifested in York? Do we see it manifested in the UK? Do we see it manifested in our world today? No, because when we think of Handel's Messiah and they get to that great aria at the end, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is speaking of a future time. The kingdom of God has not yet fully manifested. Has the kingdom of God touched your life? Yes. 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 It's touched my life. The kingdom of God has touched my life. So the kingdom of God reaches out into our world and touches people. When somebody dies that we've been praying for, has the kingdom of God been manifested in their lives? Well, it may have been in some ways, but we didn't get the miracle. And sometimes we pray for a miracle, we don't get a miracle, the kingdom of God does not come. But Jesus talks about the miraculous as being the kingdom of God coming. And we need to understand that the kingdom of God is something we should always pray for. And so we should always ask, we should always seek, we should always knock, because the kingdom of God is coming, and together with God, we can bring the kingdom. We know that God talked to Adam. We know that God walked with Adam. We know that God involved Adam in the naming of creation. It is clear that in the beginning, God wanted a people to relate to, and we were it. Just look in the mirror sometimes, and if you've managed to keep your stomach down, just carry on looking in the mirror and just say, you are the one that God wanted the relationship with. And suddenly, you won't look quite as bad, because God knew what he was doing. God wanted relationship. Psalm 115, verse 16 says this, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. We have been given the earth to rule over. With a man for whom it wasn't good to be alone, he gave Adam authority over the realm in which he lived. And in this sense, like God, and God drew near to him in relationship. So God is relational. God made people to relate to them. God wants to relate to you. Can I really stress this single point to you today? God didn't want to set up a religion. God did not want you to be religious. God wanted you to relate to him. And it's so different. It isn't about coming to church and saying, And forgive me if I'm mocking anybody, I'm not trying to. But you know what I'm talking about? It's not about religion. It's not about knowing the words to say that will get you through the service. It's about knowing the God whom we are exalting in the service. It's about you having personal, definitive access. I've just been to a conference where Jackie Pullinger was there. And it was lovely. I met her for the, well, it's not, it's the, Pauline and I saw us a long, long number of years ago. But it's the first time that we've had proper speaking terms and we hit it off. It was really nice. It was absolutely lovely. But I am no better a man for having shaken hands with Jackie Pullinger. Believe me, it makes no difference to you and it will make no difference before God. But if I have spent a couple of days with God, that might make more difference to you when I speak to you, because God is the ultimate one to know. Do you know, I've just read the biography of Gerald Coates. It's called Gerald Coates Pioneer. And it's a good read. And there are two photos of Roger Forster in it. And a number of mentions of him, and mentions of Stuart Bell, and there are some really, it's quite a good, interesting book. But Gerald has a bit of a reputation for one key thing. He's a bit of a name dropper. And in this biography, he says, sometimes people say I'm a bit of a name dropper. But he says, if you knew all the people I did, you would realise I very rarely mention names. And the fact is, he mentions two or three names in there that he is well known at. It's well known that he ministers a bit to that singer from Status Quo, and that he was there when his son died, when he drowned. And it's well known that he hangs out a bit with the Queen of Romania and the royal family of Romania. And he does mention these people. But do you know something? Gerald Coates hangs around with God. And I hang around with God. And I hope you hang around with God. Because actually, it doesn't matter whose names you're dropping. What matters is are you in relationship with God? And you know something? There are lots of people that I would love to meet. And it would be nice to say, oh, I know so and so. Gerald probably does know them, I don't. But what really matters is I am in control of whether or not I know God. Because I just have to respond to him and make a choice. Okay. My next point is this. God has a relational plan. I often say to you, this isn't plan B. The life we're living in now, the plan that God has made, he always had a plan from before the foundations of the earth that his son would die for our sins. That was plan A. And we live in plan A. So everything went wrong when we rebelled against God. Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. We ate from the fruit of the one tree that God said we couldn't eat from. We were allowed to eat from anything else, but just one tree and only one was forbidden. And you say to me, which tree was it? Was it a peach tree? Was it an apple tree? It doesn't make any difference what was growing on the tree. It was the word that made the fruit of the tree forbidden. God could have picked absolutely anything and called it the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it was eating the fruit that you were commanded not to eat that gave you the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't matter what the fruit was. The fruit had no intrinsic power in itself. What we have here is a simple fact. The word was spoken over the tree and they broke the word of God. But even then, God reaches out to Adam and Eve. And what does God do? God kills sheep and makes clothing for Adam and Eve and presents it to them. They try to use vegetable material and it wasn't very successful. But God gives them fur and they are clothed and they are covered. And God worked with Adam and Eve. Of course, there were a number of people that wouldn't talk to God. And I'm not quite sure what the real reaction of Adam and Eve was when they were kicked out of Eden, which, you know, was the mercy and kindness of God that he kicked us out of Eden, because he didn't want us to live forever corrupt. That would have been cruelty extreme. So God, in his mercy, takes us out of Eden. But you just read your book of Genesis and you'll see God had great friendships and relationships with Enoch, with Noah, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Joseph. Goes on throughout your Bible, you have Moses, you have David. These are all people that God had relationship with. And God loved having relationship with them. You know, there's one thing I can say about every one of these people: none of them were perfect. And their failings are recorded in the Bible to remind us that none of them were perfect. But every one of them had a relationship with God. And it's absolutely amazing. I've just been reading this week about Jacob, and you just read about how his relationship with God, it took years to get into any speed to get to anything. But it became something richly powerful in his life, which imbued a nation with something of God. These were people who were not morally perfect by any means, but they had righteousness, right standing with God. A relational term, God gave them the right to stand in his presence. However, this promise was not that any... This promise was not any of these individuals. None of these individuals were the promise that God made in Eden. You remember when God says to the serpent, the seed of the woman will stamp on your head. And incidentally, when I was writing these notes, I spent some time meditating on how Satan himself has a fractured skull and concussion. And I just meditated on that for a while, because I thought, yeah, actually, you know, he's probably, even in his great intrigue and his twisted mind, even that isn't working that well, because Satan has had his head stamped on by Jesus on the cross. And you might say, I'm stretching this a little bit there. I think we ought to think more that way, because Jesus has won a great victory on the cross. But the promise was not David. The promise was the son of David. The promise was not Moses. It was another like Moses, a prophet. It was not Abraham. It was someone who was unique, a God-man hybrid. It was God and man in one fleshly container. Jesus of Nazareth, God incarnate. Jesus shows us the true face of God, the love, the mercy, the compassion, and he himself gives us this promise. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's relationship. That's the relationship that June had on that floor when she's had a stroke and she suddenly realizes that Jesus is laid on the floor with her. I'm going to mention that for a while yet because I'm still rather excited about that. She recognized her relationship with Jesus would see her through, and thank God he is seeing her through. Jesus built relationship with his disciples. Jesus loved the people. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have drawn you under my wings like a hen with her chicks. Jesus was full of the desire for relationship with people. And look at those people he had relationship with. The malcontents, the thieves, the robbers, the prostitutes, the, dare I say, even the tax collectors. Jesus had relationship with all. Jesus is the great practitioner of good relationship. And 1 Corinthians talks about him as being the second Adam. The first man, Adam, became a living being, but the second Adam became a life-giving spirit. The second Adam has come to restore relationship between us and God. My third point is walking with God. Enoch walked with God. They walked off into the sunset one day and Enoch didn't come back. God has always wanted to walk with man. Romans 5 verse 11 says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's peace with God. That means restored relationship. John 14:7, Jesus says, if you know me, you'll also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We know God the Father through Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favour and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favoured us with in the Beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is a very relational salvation. We have a very great relational connection with God. And we need to live it up in that. We need to revel in it. We need to rejoice in that relationship. This isn't we come to church because we've always done that. This is because we come together because we've got a relationship with God. I can call out on his name. I can call his name at any time. I can say, Jesus, help me. And do you know what? He helps you. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. In a relationship, you do some things and don't do others. And God does some things and doesn't do others. And that relationship together ties us. God wants us to walk with him. Christianity is about walking with God. It's about following Jesus. A follower of Jesus is a Christian, a Christian. That's what it means. We are followers of Jesus. We are walking with him. Sometimes Jesus says, I want you to walk this way with me. And we walk with him. And we are followers of Christ. It's not, can you memorize a prayer? It's not, can you sing a very difficult to sing hymn? It's, have you got relationship? And I just want to say in conclusion, really, that we see as a church leadership that relationship is almost the be all and end all of everything we have to say. Because ultimately, if you've got a relationship with God through Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is empowering that relationship, well, what else do you need? What else really is there to say? Relationship is what it's about. In this world, we are relationship mad. It's crazy. I was on a tube train yesterday, and there were four girls sat behind me. And they were going, this was a long journey, this was an hour. And these four girls told me everything about their relationships, systematically, one after another. And one of these girls has had at least three relationships in the last month. And you would have thought, by the way she was talking about them, these relationships had gone on for years. Because she knew everything about these guys. And it was like, it was... You know, oh, well, when I moved out of my last relationship into my current relationship. And you think, and then she says it's sort of 2 weeks has happened between. And you think, well, but we are relationship mad. You know, everything, it's about who are you in relationship with now? You know, that's what life seems to be about in our world. But actually, God had always intended it, that it should be about relationship, but not just between us, but with him. So our vertical relationship is the one that matters most. Our relationship with God is the one that matters. You see that word? It might mean nothing. It is all about relationship. It is all about relationship. Now this is the draft phrase that's going to appear on our website that summarizes our value of relationship. And this is what I've written. We believe that being a Christian is all about relationship. A vibrant and connected walk with God the Father through Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that living in relationship with God is the best choice we can make, and that life is great when that relationship is well maintained. You know, this isn't rocket science. This is simple. We just need to keep our relationships in good condition. We also value our relationships with the people of God, that's the church, and we always seek to have good relationships within the wider community. Therefore, everything we seek to do, we aim to accomplish through relationship. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, but that is what I'm presenting you today as the first of our values. We believe in relationship. We don't just do anything with anybody. We do things out of relationship. And we seek to build strong relationships in the body of Christ and strong relationships outside of the body of Christ. Jackie Pullinger said something that I've always sort of really believed, but she said it in such a powerful way the last couple of days. She said, please don't put me in front of a big crowd and ask me to give a gospel appeal. She said, I don't actually believe in that. She said, I believe in coming alongside one person and inviting them to follow Jesus. And as I thought about that, I thought, yeah, that's really powerful. You know, probably as a person, my gifting is perhaps just as much to give a wider appeal to a lot of people at once. But she was saying that her gift is to reach one person at a time. And actually, all of us ought to be practicing relationships that bring us to a point where we can invite people to follow Jesus. Would you like to bow your heads? This morning, I just want you to know this one truth. It is all about relationship. God wants to know you. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to walk with you. There's the Methodist lady that we've been praying for the last couple of weeks, whose dad died immediately before Christmas, whose husband died 2 weeks afterwards. Her sister died this week. She's now got no relatives. They've no children. They've got no relatives. She's nobody. And in all of this, to crown it all, her dog's died. And you say, how can anybody have that much happen to them in a week, in a month? And yet, this woman is testifying how the body of Christ, the church, is being everything to her. And we need to make sure that we have good relationships within the church and without the church, and especially with God. But don't sacrifice your relationship with God for relationships with other people. It's got to be God first. And then everything else follows. Because if you've got a good relationship with God, you will develop good relationships with his people. And then you will have a desire to have good relationships with the wider population of this planet. Father, this morning, we ask you to draw near. Help us to give ourselves to relationship with you, relationships with the body of Christ, relationships with the wider community. Help us, Father, to be to them what you are to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.